Be here with everybody. Exodus chapter number 5. I'm wearing a suit coat today, which normally only comes out at funerals and weddings, but I decided to dress up for fundamental a little bit. So anyhow, it's good to be born again. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad when it's all said and done that I'm going to be standing on Heaven Street corner praising the Lord and thanking Him for being such a wonderful Savior to me. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. No matter what you may be going through, a lot of times I like to just tack a million years onto it and say, how much will this matter in a million years? Amen. Kind of give me a better perspective. The book of Exodus is where we're at today. Chapter number 4. You can stand with me, please, out of respect for the Word of God. Exodus chapter number 4. We're going to start reading here in verse number 24. And we're going to read a couple of verses, and I'll let you kind of see some of the background of what's going on here in Exodus chapter number 4, verse number 24. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. A lot of you are wondering right now, Pastor, this is a missions conference. What in the world are you doing reading those verses? Well, let's pray and we'll get into it. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for being such a wonderful Savior to us. Please bless the message and bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk this morning about Moses and Zipporah. That was his wife, Mrs. Moses. God's call on Moses was real, by the way. Moses was doing his best to mind his own business, raise his daddy-in-law's sheep, and he was enjoying it, apparently. He enjoyed being a shepherd, and he spent 40 years doing it. Figure if you spend that long doing something, it's probably because you enjoy it. And one day, he was just minding his own business, keeping his father-in-law's sheep, and all of a sudden, God showed up in a burning bush and got his attention. And there was a lot of back and forth there, and Brother Silvertooth preached on it here recently at the preacher's meeting. It was a wonderful message, praise God for it, about all the back and forth that was going on between Moses and God. And Moses would say, well, here's why I can't. And God would say, well, here's why you can, and I will through you. And then Moses would say, no, I can't. And God would say, here's how you can. And so they went back and forth, and finally, Moses surrendered to God's call on his life. And that's a great thing, and that's a wonderful thing when the Lord gives you a specific thing to do in your life in service to Him. Now, I want to be careful before going forward, because a lot of times up at the Grove, at the church where I'm pastoring right now, a lot of times people like these type of messages because they think, well, I'm not a missionary, I'm not a pastor, I'm not in full-time service, I'm not called to preach, so I can tune out everything that's going on in this message because it's not for me. Well, it's right the opposite today, brothers and sisters. I don't care if you're in full-time ministry. I don't care if God's given a specific call on your life. If you're saved and you're still breathing, God's got something for you to do down here. Amen. And that doesn't matter. I mean, a lot of times we've got this specific list of stuff that we believe we have to be called into as far as full-time service. And before that, we can kind of relax a little bit and twiddle our thumbs and don't have to worry about serving God. But the Lord's got us here for a purpose. And if He didn't want us here serving Him, we'd be able to worship Him a whole lot better in our heavenly bodies. Amen. We'd be able to spend time better with Him in heaven, and He'd just take us right on. So He left us here for a purpose. So this message is for everybody today. And even though God may not have called you to be a pastor, to be a preacher, to be a missionary, to be in any type of full-time service, God does want you to be a full-time Christian. Amen. And so I encourage you today, if you're struggling with that, first of all, you need to make sure you're born again. Make sure you're saved. Amen. And make sure you know Christ is your Savior. But if you do, it's time for you to surrender to God's will in your life. And I don't know what that is, and I don't know what God may be moving you to do. And I don't know, it may not be quit your job and start this. It may not be move to a foreign field. It may not be start this over here or get involved in that over there. But there's something God wants you to do. Mamas, it may be as simple as surrendering to God's will on your life to raise those babies at home and to do the very best that you know how and actually spend time in the Word of God and time on your knees praying over those children and praying for that man and praying for that home that God would would bless it and keep his hands there upon it. Young people, I don't know what God's got for your life, but I promise you right now that if you're in school, God wants you to get in there and put your nose in them books and bless God, do the very best you can until you graduate, amen. You say, well, I'm too young to serve God. Well, let's call Josiah up here and ask him, amen. God put him on the throne at 8 years old. Son, it's time for young people to get in the business of serving God even before they get to the age of having to decide, well, now I'm 18, so now I got to decide. You can get up today and decide, I'm ready to serve the Lord today and let God speak to you. So Moses finally, God spoke to his heart and said, here's how I want you to serve me. His call was real as anybody else's. The timing was right for Moses. It wasn't a timing issue. A lot of times timing kind of messes things up, or we think it does. And we believe, well, the time's not right, or I need to wait a while. And sometimes God has you wait a while, and that's okay too. It's okay, and sometimes God has you serving in other areas before he moves you into a more specific area of service, and that's okay too. And sometimes years pass even after you know what God specifically wants you to do. And guess what? That's okay too. That wasn't Moses' problem here. The timing was right. The call was right. And God had sent him. So the Bible says, I want you to look back in 20, verse number 20. Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Got his wife and his boys involved. Love that. Praise God. Missionary team, a serving team right there. Mr. and Mrs. Moses and the boys serving the Lord together. The Bible says that he told him that Pharaoh was going to have his heart hardened, and that he was going to be, and that he would not let the people go. So even though I'm sending you and I want you to preach and I want you to do this, it's going to be a long time before you see any response. And that's okay too, folks. Sometimes what God's got you doing, you don't see any immediate fruition from that, and that's okay. It doesn't mean your call was fake. It doesn't mean God had something else planned and you missed it. You don't have to go back and second guess yourself. It's just God's got a way and he's got a timing. Moses' timing was right. Moses' heart was right. Moses got his family involved. Son, I'm telling you, this is a guy I'd like to take on for support right here. Amen. The Bible says in 22 and 23 that the Lord gave him a word. Here's what I want you to say to Pharaoh. And just like our dear brother this morning was preaching to us, God's given us a word. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve thee. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Back in verse number 20, he's got the rod of God in his hand. He's got God's rod in his hand. He's got the word of God in his mouth. God's given him a word. God's given him the tools that he needs. He's got the missus sitting beside him in the pew. He's got the children lined up beside him. Son, I'm telling you, the time. Right, that everything's just right for the Moses family ministry to begin. But on their way to serve, the Lord wanted them to take a little detour at the inn. And that's what I want to preach on today, is passing by the inn in your ministry. And whatever God's got you doing, I don't care if it's as a family, as whatever. Again, please don't mistake ministry as, oh, well, that's for full-time people. This is for all of us. Your ministry of being a papa and a mama. Your ministry of being a pawpaw and a mama, whatever it may be. Look at this now. Out of nowhere, verse 24 through 26 is almost like a huge break in the story. The Bible says it came to pass by the way in the end. I want you to notice that this was something that happened. This wasn't a pre-deputation issue. You know, now get with me. This wasn't a pre-deputation problem. They had already been sent, buddy. He's already got the word of God. He's already got the staff in his hand. He's already got his family with him. Son, they've already got up on the donkey and they're heading to Egypt. They're already on the plane. They've already passed through customs. Son, their passports have been stamped. And they're on their way to the field. And God says, before we get started, I need to park at the inn a while. And we need to work through a problem that if we can't get through, we're not going any farther. Look what happened right here. By the way, in the inn, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. The Lord told Moses, if you don't get this issue ironed out, you're a dead man. And you're not moving any further. Now Moses, in this situation, Moses wasn't going to get released. He was going to die right here. This would have been his final day unless this situation had gotten through. But there's a lot of ministries. There's a lot of families. There's a lot of marriages that when the Lord takes that husband and wife and brings them to this spot in the end and tells them you've got an issue that you need to get through, and if you don't get through it, there'll be no more growth. There'll be no, that oneness. You're going to lose that fellowship. You're going to lose that strength in your home. You're going to lose that oneness that you desire and that you need from me. If you don't make it through this, you can go on with the motions. You can click off the calendar years as days go by. But son, if you can't get this thing right, and if you can't work through this problem, and if you can't deal with what I'm about to bring to you, it is going to cause a slow, agonizing death either in your marriage, in your family, in your ministry, and it's going to hurt you and it's going to hinder you. So the best thing you can do is get through it right here and right now while we're staying at the Motel 6, amen, before heading forward into ministry. Oh, that's a scary place to stay at the end when God comes knocking on your indoor, saying, we're not moving forward till this is dealt with. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You ever been in the inn before? And God's got such a grip over your soul. God's got his hands all over your heart, squeezing and tugging. Son, you can't sleep. You can't eat. You can barely function because there's something out of whack. There's some problem. There's some issue. The Spirit of God's weighing heavy on you, and you know exactly what it is. Watch what happens here. The Lord met him and sought to kill him. Verse 24.5, Moses told Zipporah the problem. Except for one thing, Pastor, there is no 24.5. Zipporah knew exactly what needed to happen. Moses knew exactly what needed to happen. Brother and sister, I promise you here today, you know exactly what needs to happen. Y'all don't have to have a conversation. God's not keeping you in the dark. Young person, listen to me. Your growth stunted in the Lord. You're not on fire anymore. You just come because mom and daddy drug you here. You're not excited about the things of God anymore. Nobody's got to sit you down and talk you through it. You know exactly what's got to happen. You know exactly why God's parked your tail at the inn for a day. Amen. And he says, boy, we're not moving forward till you work this out. Moses knew what had to happen. Mrs. Moses knew what had to happen. They didn't have to have a conversation. They didn't have to compare notes. They didn't have to get anybody involved. God was speaking to this family at the end. And they weren't going forward one step until this was dealt with. The Bible says in 24 that God sought to kill him. The Lord wasn't going to let it go. See, a lot of us are deceived and think God's going to let things slide. Think God's going to let it go. God's power will still be on our family. God's blessing will still be on our marriage. God's blessing will still be on my children. God's blessing will still be over us if we could just forget about this, if we could just push past it, if we could just pretend like it never happened, if we could just sweep it under our rug, if we can just somehow, keep moving. Son, if we could just leave the inn behind, if we could just close the door on this hotel room and just keep moving forward, God, somehow we'll still make it through. Somehow we'll still keep serving God. And God says, no, you won't. You're not closing the door on this one. You're not moving forward another day without dealing with this problem. God's not going to let it go. And you know what it is. You're sitting here today and you already got sweat going down the back of your neck because you know exactly what it is. And you're waiting and you know your wife's sitting right beside you. She knows what it is too. And more than likely your children do too. Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son. Mama stood up and said, here's what we're going to do. Now, as I read this story and look at it, circumcision was something that God had ordained for the children, the men of Abraham's seed to have done. When Zipporah stood up and did this, she took what she had cut off from her son and threw it at her husband's feet and essentially cussed him out. So my assumption, again, I don't see it written here, but what I'm understanding from the Bible, Moses never had a problem with wanting to circumcise those boys. That wasn't Moses' issue. Moses was probably eighth day after they were born. Moses probably had the knife ready, had it ready to go. And I don't know, Zipporah may have looked at him and said, "You ain't touching my boy with that. Step aside, you heathen. What are you thinking? You ain't depriving my boy of that. You're not hurting my kid that way. Son, I carried that boy 9 months. I went through 78 hours of labor and finally had that baby. You're going to take that knife and walk the other direction." And Moses, what did he do? See, Moses had to be on board, and Mama had to be on board too. And Moses knew, getting Mama on board, how much control did he have over that? Zero. Sister, you have no control in getting your husband on board with what you feel the Lord wants to do in your family and specifically with your children. You can't do that. You can't control his heart. You can't speak to him like God does. Ain't gonna happen. God's got to do that. You say, "Well, I've been waiting and praying," and he still ain't. You keep waiting on the Lord. And Daddy, though God's given you, we have the responsibility and the privilege of guiding and feeding and directing our family. We can force our way. We can push things to happen. We can elbow it to happen. Moses said, "I'm not doing that. And I'll die right here and right now. In fact, I'm ready to meet my maker right here and right now. I'll skip out on this ministry God's called me to. I don't care, but I ain't forcing Mrs. Moses into this thing. In fact, I'm ready to go. If God decides to take me, that's okay. But I'm not forcing Zipporah to make this decision." He ain't gonna force it. And so he sat back. And Zipporah came, she finally got up, she got upset, she sharpened a stone, and she cut the foreskin of her son off. Now he's a lot older at this point, which means the longer you wait to deal with this issue that God's got on your heart, what's it going to do? The harder it's going to hurt when it comes to take care of. The longer you let that thing fester, the longer you let that thing sit, the longer you allow your children to be involved in whatever nonsense they're involved in that you know they shouldn't be, and you know they should stop that mess, and you know you should take that away from them, and you know you shouldn't allow that, but Papa's not on board, or Mama's not on board, or Mom and Daddy aren't on the same page together, and all of a sudden we want to step up and teach a Sunday school class or go to the mission field, and we ain't even on the same page about how to raise our babies. God says, "Ain't happening. We're going to stop in at the end and get on the same page before anybody moves forward." So some of us are walking to the end today, and God's got you in there, and Mommy ain't going to force him, and Papa's not going to force you. But the longer you wait to do what's right for those children, the harder it's going to hurt them when the time comes. I don't know what it is. You fill in the blank. I don't know. Maybe it's about their education. Maybe it's time to change their education spot from this school to that school. And maybe if you do that, you're afraid they're going to lose that and lose the other and not have this opportunity and that opportunity. I don't know. I don't know what God's moving you to do. Maybe it's to take that cell phone out of their hands for a day or two. Lord, have mercy. I don't know. I don't know what God's pressed upon you to do. Zipporah knew what had to happen. It was a lot more painful. There was anger involved. So buckle your seatbelt. There's probably somebody's going to get mad. And then there was stuff getting thrown around. It was a terror. I mean, this is horror movie stuff right here, folks. It was bad. She sharpened the stone, cut the foreskin off of her son, and cast it at her husband's feet. Cast it at his feet and said, "Surely a bloody husband art thou to me." Son, that family, son, they're ready for the ministry, aren't they? And you say, well, Pastor, Brother Nick, I figure since you're up there wearing a suit and tie, that means you and your wife and kids, y'all must just be awesome and ready to go and just perfectly amazing. Y'all probably passed through all the ends y'all are ever going to pass through. Y'all will never have another crossword or a problem where mom or dad or somebody gets so upset, stuff starts getting thrown places, words are said that you wish you could take back. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And here's what you're thinking in the back of your mind. God called us to do what now? And we're going through this right now? As you move closer and closer into the calling of God on your life, whatever that is, the more and more things God's going to bring up and say, I'm not going to let you live with this anymore. The more heat he's going to turn up and say, it's time to stop in at this end and to get this right. Zipporah had to get on board. Moses was willing to die. Sharp items may appear in the midst of these emotionally difficult times. Look it down with me in chapter number 18 of the book of Exodus. We don't know anything more other than 27. The Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him. So after that situation was dealt with, God let him move forward. And Moses took off towards Egypt to do what God had called him to do. In Exodus chapter 18 and verse number 2. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, is coming to meet Moses and God's people after their deliverance from Egypt. The Bible says in verse number 2, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eliezer. For the God of my father, said he, was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. This family didn't survive in a healthy way the end. They wound up splitting up. Mama bear and the baby bears, Moses sent them back. They weren't able to be together when the Red Sea parted. They weren't able to stand there together as man and wife, watching God turn water into blood and watching the frogs come up and then go away and watching the darkness come and how God kept the light over the children of Israel. They missed those precious, wonderful moments of unity and God's calling because of that. Moses sent her back. That's a heartbreaking story right there. The boys missed seeing God use Daddy in a great way. The family didn't get to enjoy that time together serving the Lord because of that end. I want you to look down with me in verse number 27. And you say, well, Pastor, that's a terrible way. My goodness, that's so heartbreaking. Bless their hearts. I mean, how did they? Well, look at verse 27. This is after Moses' father-in-law Jethro spent some time with him, and he's heading back home. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. According to verse number 27, again, I'm not a Bible scholar. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's singular. He let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. So even though the end in Moses and Zipporah's marriage was devastating, even though those, I don't know if those boys ever got over seeing mom and daddy have that kind of a drag, knockdown drag out. Even though the pain was terrible, even though sharp stones started flying right and left, even though there was a period of separation, even though there was a time of loneliness in both Moses and Zipporah's heart, and even though those babies had to spend some time away from Papa Moses and didn't get to see and to be involved in all the miraculous things that happened in Egypt, the Lord still worked it out. and brought them back together. And they got back on the same page. And you say, well, what instituted that? Well, somebody else had to get involved. Amen. Father-in-law got involved and brought mama and the babies back where they needed to be, which was with her husband. And sometimes, I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes I know we like to keep the end business all private, don't we? I'm pretty sure Moses and Zipporah preferred the door being shut during this time of their lives. Preferred a little privacy. They probably weren't taking pictures and uploading it to Facebook. Look at this great time we had in the Lord today. But sometimes somebody's going to have to step in and get involved and help get those things worked out. Because the time of being at the end in your life is a very painful time. That is not easy. But I want you to understand it's something that the Lord may have you go through before He wants you to move forward in any direction. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. I'm going to close with this. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The way you're going to make it through that end, through that time of gut-wrenching pain. I mean, who enjoys analyzing our deepest fears? I don't know. We don't have anything to do today. What should we do? Oh, let's self-analyze. Let's go through our deepest fear. Honey, let's try to figure out our hot-button topic that makes you the maddest and me the most upset. That's not a fun time, and that's not something we enjoy. But before we move forward, God may say it's time to sit down in the inn. We got to take a stop at the Motel 6 before moving forward in your life. And you are going to have to dig deep and figure out the problem. And it's going to be painful, and it's going to be hard, and you may have to get somebody else involved. But I have a plan for you, and I want to use you, and I've got something I need for you to do to get involved in missions. Let's be okay with that, church. Let's surrender to God when He starts pointing at us and saying, there's the weight, there's the sin, lay it down. Say, how am I going to make it through this end, Pastor? I feel like I've been staying there for weeks now and there's still no resolution and we're still working through it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus. Amen. Keep your eyes on Him.